The name Asa means physician or cure. And that is what this man that we have read about this morning was to prove to be to the people of his realm. As we read into chapter 14 there and begin to read something about his life, we notice very quickly that God had preeminence not only in his thinking, but in the way he behaved and the actions that he took. He did away with that which really had been a curse to those who'd been around him, that is, the false religion of the day. Pleasing God was Asa's great ambition. And brethren and sisters, there is nothing greater that you and I can do with our life as we seek out, what would God have for me to do? Whatever age we are, there's nothing better than we can do than seek to please the Lord. I was in the village of Moy one day and was speaking to a lady there that I hadn't seen for a while. She's a Roman Catholic who used to be a customer many years ago. And I was talking to her and she told me that she saw my photograph in the paper with Dr. Paisley and the others who were there taking part in my ordination in Dungannon. She went on to talk to me, believe it or not, about Christian things. And she told me of this lady who lived beside her family when they were growing up. And she said, you know, we always watched her. And she said she would hardly more than water a plant on a Sunday. And she said every day as she went out and about, she never gave offense to anyone. And overall, as a family, we always looked upon her as a very honest and a very honorable person. And I believe, certainly, that she was speaking about a believer. And she was herself a Roman Catholic woman. And brethren and sisters, surely it is my desire and yours as well that we would be those who would tell for the Lord. Nothing else will bring the reward that telling for the Lord will bring. Sometimes we speak to people who are quite well on in years and they look back and say, you know, really everything that we tried to do for the Lord really was what counted. It was what counted. And we have read here about this man, Asa, King Asa, whose name means physician or one who cures. And he came to the throne in quite an easy time. I suppose you could say it was a time of tranquility, because it says there, in his days the land was quiet 10 years. Quietness and tranquility is something which we all desire, and it is a time of blessing indeed when there's quiet in the land and relative quiet even in our own life's experience. But not only was Asa and those around him experiencing external tranquility, I believe here was a man who was walking and enjoying internal tranquility as he sought to do what he could for the Lord. There were so many possibilities for this man as he looked out before him and saw that the Lord had given him quietness in the land. They had sworn enemies. And when your sworn enemies are too quiet, sometimes you need to watch out. You don't know what they're planning. But it is true today to say that when we enter into a time of quietness and even relative tranquility, when there's the absence of severe strife or harassment or aggression, and we have entered in some respects into a time of quiet, it is in that very time that complacency can come along, and that can lead to costly carelessness, costly for us and costly for the work of the Lord. And when there doesn't seem to be any threat, it would be so easy just to Well, just to take a step back. But that was never the policy of King Asa. Again, it says in verse 1, in his days the land was quiet 10 years. Now, I want to look at this time of quiet with you today. I think on another occasion we looked at his prayer over there as he sought the Lord, just as he's about to go out to battle. But we're back a few days now. And we're looking at him here just in the quietness of the land. And the title that I have this morning is Having a Vision in Days of Opportunity. Having a vision in days of opportunity. This was a great day of opportunity for Asa and his people. And folks, today, 2018, it's a day of opportunity. Some things are being legislated and coming in that we don't agree with and we don't like, and we know all that. It's good to remind ourselves of that. But overall, the door is open. The opportunity is there to tell for the Lord. Over in the little village of Bush, outside Dungannon today, down in Erkstuart's barn, there's a gospel mission commencing. The Dungannon church are having that mission. And it's out in the barn there, and I don't know how many people from round about will come in. There might not be many. But the folks are there having that mission. Number one, because of vision. And number two, because of opportunity. And whenever we have gospel missions associated with our congregations, that is why we have them. That is why we have them. Because there is vision. And because of a day of opportunity. And what I'm saying this morning is that a day of quiet is given by the Lord. It is given by the Lord. It says there in verse 5, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Verse 6, because the Lord had given him rest. It's emphasized time and time again. It was quiet. Of course, Northern Ireland's not everything at the moment we want it to be. But you take it and compare it with some places, it's quiet. And the Lord has given us rest. The Lord has given us opportunity. And we can look at this from an angle of a congregation or denomination, but it's good to look at it as individuals. And we're looking this morning here at having a vision in days of opportunity. Notice here that Asa had a vision regarding preparation. Regarding preparation, look what it says there in verse 7. It says, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars. In the mind of this young king, because he was very young at this time, he wants to utilize the time that God has given him quiet. He doesn't want to simply sit back and admire everything around him, but he wants to deal with things in a way that will prove advantageous in the days that are to come. His heart is set upon using these years of quietness and rest and freedom from external attack, using them for internal development as far as this people and their settlement was concerned. And in order to secure the future safety of the realm, he proposes that they make their cities military fortresses, great big walls, watchmen in the towers, gates that can be very, very hard for the enemy to move. It would seem that he was taking drastic measures. But remember here, he had a vision regarding preparation. I think that vision would have been met by different reactions from different people. There could have been those, and I'm sure there were some, number one, who preferred ease. Something about our human makeup that we can go through periods of preferring ease. The Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. It's very important to have holidays and have proper breaks. And just with that in mind, I want to mention to you that on Easter week, Charith and I hope to go away abroad for a few days, first time in 25 years, because it is our 25th anniversary of our wedding, and we're looking forward to that. It's important to have that. It's nice for you and me to get away for a day or two. But brothers and sisters, we don't live lives of ease. There's too much to do. But there may have been those who would have thought, well, you're behaving here in a way that is almost fanatical. And to get involved in this kind of an enterprise at this time when there's no danger on the horizon, you're jumping the gun here. They would have been skeptical. Leave good enough alone. Content yourself. Enjoy things now just as they are. And you know, even today, when it comes to getting out and inviting people to come in, seeking to go out with missions, seeking to have special meetings that we do here, and we focus upon getting people in. Our children's workers on a Tuesday night, they love reaching the boys and girls every Tuesday night. But it's coming to that time of the year now when there is that thought in every one of their hearts, and my heart as well. What about parents' night? What about those parents that have allowed them to come along all year and perhaps don't go to any place of worship themselves? Can we get them in on parents' night? We work towards that kind of meeting because we believe that it is a responsibility to try to get men and women under the sound of the word. Now, not everyone in Northern Ireland thinks that way. Maybe those who would rather have a time of ease. And as time goes past, think of the things that used to separate us from being able to be involved in united worship and so on. Those things are diminishing now. And they don't really matter anymore because it's all rosy everywhere you look. Of course, we know it isn't rosy. But it is quiet. And there is the opportunity to do what we can for the Lord. And you and I, brethren and sisters, we have a responsibility to be watchmen. Remember here when we mentioned here that he had a vision regarding preparation. He was preparing to fortify these cities for another day that was down the road there that would eventually come. And I personally feel a great responsibility towards the next generation. I've come into so much. I've entered into others' labors. But I have such a responsibility to the young people who come afterwards. This is our day to do what we can by way of preparation for the future. As I said, he wanted to protect the realm, to be in the best possible position for whenever this time of quiet might not be with them anymore. And folks, we have today the responsibility to be those watchmen for the Lord. Just going to read a couple of scriptures at this time that remind us of that. Over in Nehemiah chapter 4, it says there in verse 17, here were people who were working in a most remarkable way. The building of the wall, it says, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it. Here's how every one of them worked. It says, every one with one of his hands wrought on the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Here are people who are not going to be at ease in Zion. They're not going to be those who stop because there seems to be difficulty here. But in their situation, they're working with one hand in the work, and on the other hand, they have the weapon. That's like us. We must try. Again, on Tuesday night, we're going to have to try and get the boys and girls out to the meetings on the road. We have to do that, and that's why we bring the bus every Tuesday night to get them. But you know, the weapon in your other hand is the word of God. We have our bit to do, but we have the sword of the Spirit. And the two go together. The sword of the Spirit cannot use any of its power, but I have my responsibility. And so has every believer as well. And here they were. They had one hand in the work, and on the other hand, they held a weapon. Over there in Proverbs, I think I drew your attention to this fairly recently. It says, I went in verse 30, Proverbs 24 and 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, and received instruction. Look what it says in verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Do you remember what we said about rest? It's nice to get a wee break every now and again, or to get your holidays and all, but it's not a perpetual thing. That we're not at ease all the time. And that was the lesson they learned here. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. But it says there in verse 30, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Couldn't see it. Couldn't see the danger of neglecting the vineyard. And when the wall is broken down, then that which could destroy the vineyard was able to come in. Really what you see in these verses is indifference. And how dangerous it is when indifference, or we could call it complacency, is knocking at the door of our hearts. If you turn back with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, and we're just going to go back a page or two to chapter 12. It says there, concerning another person, it says, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. How things were changing. Things were okay for him. He had strengthened himself. And now he forsook the law of the Lord. And when things are fairly good, folks, I'm not speaking here about numerically, and it's always lovely to have people in church and new people and so on, but it's not all about numbers. But it's very, very important that when we are strengthened, we do not forsake the law of the Lord. Because that is very similar to the situation here that Ahaz was in. Things were good. Remember Abijah who'd gone before him? He had done his utmost. He went out into the field and faced an army far, far bigger than him. People were all around him. He would have been really at wit's end corner, but he didn't know what way to look, only up. And that's what he did. And the Lord delivered him. He did the right things. And then Asa, he came into the kingdom, to the throne in a time of quiet. But he didn't squander it. He didn't squander it. Now, he may have been met, I've no doubt, by those who preferred ease. And we've already said here, it's not about, I talked to a man one time who refused to go on holiday. I said, do you not go anywhere? And he said, no, I think I should be here. I think I should be here 52 weeks of the year in the work. I don't agree with him at all. I believe that you do need rest, but there's a difference in that in ease and neglect, because that was happening here in Proverbs chapter 24. He may have been met by those who preferred ease, but what about those who preferred to be critical? Maybe not in a very public way, but certainly there may have been those who thought, you know, what is wrong with this man? Maybe they were willing to do what needed to be done, but they just could not see that there was any point in building walls and putting gates and bars on and wasting their substance on that which could have been used for something else. And they may have thought, well, it's all a waste of time anyway. Folks, let's never get to that point. There are enough people out there who will scoff at God's work, who will poke fun at traditional Reformed worship and reverence, and young people who will seek to drag you down to where they are. You've let them go on. I've no doubt that Asa met not only with those who would have preferred ease and some who were scoffers, but very importantly here, there were his supporters. There were his supporters. A good number of those who were listening, they saw the wisdom in Asa's proposal. And they recognized that if things are to be prepared for days to come, or weeks to come, or years to come, we need to do it now. We need to work now. And thankfully, there has been in every generation those who see the need for continual growth spiritually, strengthening and building, irrespective of the quietness of the day and how much rest we seem to have. There has to be that resolve among God's people, and there always has been though, have been those who are resolved to stand in the gap for the Lord. And what was right in Asa's day regarding the people and the cities they lived in, I believe is right for us today. And there are a nucleus of God's people in Northern Ireland who are still willing to press on. To press on and get on with the work of exposing sin and exhorting repentance and exalting Christ. And that is what the work is about. Exposing sin, exhorting repentance, and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, over in Ephesians chapter 6, you know the portion well. We call it the armor of God. And when you look at that armor very carefully, all of it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ and to what he is. But you know, when you look at it here, there's no sign anywhere that you are to take the shield down, that you are to somehow or other allow your loins not to be girt about with truth. This is something for life. Something for life as a Christian. To have on the whole armor of God. You know, I was thinking to myself the other day, and I have to say, I felt really old. 31 years when I started attending the prayer meetings in Dungannon. Seems ages. Tuesday night, just a young fella. Started coming along. And you know, the Lord over them 31 years has allowed me to be out most Tuesday nights, whether it's there or in England or here. And all of those years, the Lord has taught us that we must keep on the whole armor of God, brethren and sisters. We must keep it on. Remember that the devil's darts are fairy darts. They'll turn your world upside down. They'll warp your thinking. They'll send bitterness into your soul. They'll cause division here in the church. They'll do all kinds of things if we will let that happen. But they only harm you if they hit you. We've said that before. They only harm you if they hit you, because we are to take the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We're very thankful today. We had a great night, Friday night. Great sense of unity amongst us there and together. And we were very glad. I'm just thinking this morning in the study that congregation here is a very easy one to work with. And a very nice congregation to work with. And thankfully, a congregation that believes in what we're saying this morning. There must be preparation. There must be building for the future. Doing our utmost for those who come after. They may look back when we're not here anymore and say, well, they weren't rich. That's okay. And they may say, well, they weren't even great. And that's dead on. But we want them to look back and say, well, they were faithful. They were faithful. And that is where we want to be. And I ask the Lord today to give me a vision regarding preparation. You might do that as well, because we're speaking here of vision in the days of opportunity. A vision for preparation. But more than that, he had a vision here regarding providence. Regarding providence. You see, Asa knew that the Lord was in control and things could change in God's providence. In verse 7 it says, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while, I know that word is in italics, means it's not in the original, but the thought is in the original, the land is yet before us. In other words, while the door is open and there's nothing to hinder us, let us do it now. Here's an undeniable fact. He came to the throne in a time of quiet, Because of the labor and the devotion and even the bloodshed of others. He came to it in that time. And I've already mentioned that you and I have come into the work through the labors of others. Others have labored and we've entered into those labors. And at the moment, we're enjoying a day when the door is open. It might not always be. I don't want to upset you, but there are a goodly number of people now who, if they could prevent this kind of thing we're having here this morning happening, they would.
or the point would come where every single one of your messages and everything that was said in the meeting would have to be recorded and listened to. All kinds of things can happen. But at the moment, the land is yet before us. God, in his providence, number one, he's given us here freedom's benefits. One of freedom's benefits is that we're at liberty to build. We are at liberty. We've already mentioned that briefly. We're at liberty to do what we want to do. We can come and we can build. The other thing is we can worship in purity. We don't have any alignment with the ecumenical movement or with Rome. Nice people caught up in some of those systems. Should get out. But we don't have any alignment or any affiliation with them because we believe in the purity of worship. I'm running out of time and I'm leaving out some references just at this time, but you can look at 1 Thessalonians 1 yourself. But God in his providence gave to them an open door that wouldn't be open always. It was to prove true. It wouldn't be quiet always. It's as though he is in you when he looked back into history. There have been times of quiet and then it changed and was turmoil. And then another time of quiet. And then it changed and there was an awful upheaval for perhaps a lot of years as well. And it's as though he looked forward and thought, you know, this is so good. It isn't going to be like this forever. It isn't going to be like this forever. And brethren and sisters, today just to have the opportunity, the liberty that God has given us to come together to pray, to come together to worship the Lord in a reverent way and in freedom, all because of God's providence towards us. But also, there's another thought here. He realized that among the people there, there would have been the talents to do everything that was needed to be done. Do you remember Moses? He was mighty. And the Lord gave him the pattern for the tabernacle. That was important. He had to stick to it. There's no room for deviation at all. There's a man called Bezalel. You don't read much about him. But he was one of the men who was involved in the artwork and so on for the tabernacle. You know what the Bible says concerning him? The Bible shows us that he had this talent, that he was able to do this, but he was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. And all through the Bible, you see men and women who had different things, different skills, different talents that could contribute to the work of God. If you look in the book of Nehemiah, you will find it several times. Different people named in their various aspects of the work that they were involved in. But every one of them were there in their place. Every one of us in the work of the Lord. We need that infilling of the Holy Spirit that can enable us with whatever talent has given us, God has given us, to use it. To use it. We did mention communicant membership to you. And when people come into communicant membership, doors open eventually. Sometimes very quickly for teaching ministries and involved in different parts of the work, and there's so much that can be done. And let's this morning determine that if we have any talent, we're going to use it. We're going to use it and ask the Lord to even fine tune it the best he can in accordance with his will. For today he has given to us freedom and, we believe, talents that can see the work go forward and see the work done that needs to be done by way of preparation for the future. So we see here that this vision in days of opportunity, it was a vision regarding preparation. It was a vision regarding providence, because he knew that it might not always be like that. But it was a vision regarding possibility. A vision regarding possibility. He knew that while all around him there were, the enemy was far bigger in number than him. And even with the best training, and he had valiant men. We read about them this morning there in verse 8. He had some valiant men on his side. And he knew that whenever this time of quiet would end, that if the enemy come, that he would have an uphill battle on his hands, and he did have. You can read there, the million enemy come out against him, a million.
But Asa, you see, hadn't lost sight of the Lord. And whenever this time of quiet, he'd prepared well, done the best he could, and then they went out in a very manly fashion to engage the enemy. Here's what he said to the Lord. And this was the possibility that kept him motivated, I believe. He said there in verse 11, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. He's saying, Lord, we're going. There's not as many of us as there are of them. But don't let man prevail against thee. Ultimately, you see, what he was doing was the Lord's work. And he saw the possibility here that even though there wasn't so many, he said here it is nothing with thee to help whether with many or with them that have no power. It's the same today. God still has his Gideon's bands that he uses. You know, I think here, as I ought to do very often about the congregation, I think, you know, if the church here was full to overflowing every Sunday, and it would be nice if it was, but and you had extra seats and all in, and you had stacks of visitors coming to every meeting, it wouldn't be any more the work than what it is now. It would be different. And there would be encouragements in that itself, but it wouldn't be any more God's work than what it is now. It's just like a missionary. If a missionary goes out to the field and there's nobody there, and they've labored for 10 years and there's still three people, and they've got a few contacts in the village, and then after 20 years, there's 200 people coming to their meeting. Were those initial years any less God's work and any less the work than the latter years? No, they weren't. These are good days. Again, thinking about Friday night and the things we're planning here and the conference next weekend. Great times for fellowship, for strengthening each other. Great days of open doors and opportunity. And I trust that the Lord will give us all continually a vision. A vision of the need for preparation, the need to keep working even in days of quiet and do what we can to help the young people and to encourage them for the days ahead. That the Lord would give us that vision of the need for preparation and also a vision of God's providence. Things change. Persecution could come. And sometimes we think as ministers, you know, oh, if they persecuted us and they'd done that, and I would still do this anyway. Well, if they arrest you, somebody else will have to do it next week. Things can change. And in the possibility, it is nothing with thee to help whether with many or with them that have no power. I do thank you for listening. You know, I was just thinking, it's always great to be able to come to meetings with a spirit of expectancy. Not knowing what the Lord is going to do. And whenever we come even to times of our conference and other meetings and the children's parents' night and so on, really expecting the great things from the Lord. Somebody put a poster in the kitchen, I'm not sure if it's there anymore or not, to attempt great things from God and expect great things. So I attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. And that's where we want to be. May the Lord help us all to learn from the vision of that Asa had in the days of opportunity. We're going to turn.